Father, I just want to thank you for your presence, God, that's already here. Lord, we thank you that when you are lifted up, Jesus, you said that you will draw all to yourself, Lord. So I just ask, Lord, as you've been lifted up, Lord, in the praise and in the worship, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up now in your word, Lord, and that you would speak, Lord, to every young person that's here, Lord. Speak into their life situations, Jesus. Just thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path, Father. Thank you that your word illuminates all of the darkness, God, that's all around us, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for how you will make clear, Lord. You will bring truth, Lord. You will bring your light. And I just thank you, God, that we will be changed, Lord, by faith as a result, Father. I bless you for what you alone will do, Lord. Lead me and guide me, Lord, in this time, Father. Take away what needs to be taken away, add what needs to be added, Lord. Just speak, I pray, to every heart. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Ilya introduced earlier, we are the first night of our friendship series. And I just wanted to share a few moments with you before I share like the topic tonight, why this series, why this time. Pretty much since the fall of 2013, God has been doing an amazing move amongst the young adults here in this ministry. We've watched so many godly friendships turn into romantic relationships that have subsequently turned to marriage, right, Pastor P? It's been awesome to just be a part of it, to witness it. It's been an absolute answer to prayer. But also in the last year, I know that as I've talked to several young adults, male and female, it's also been made keenly aware to me that a lot of you are just also still battling relational issues. Friendship issues. A lot of you still have questions. A lot of you still need your minds to be renewed because there's such bombardment from the things of this world that have wrongly molded and shaped our ideas of what friendship is and what friendship isn't. And so as I've been just praying and just seeking God about this ministry and about the things that I've heard, the things he's had me to counsel, I just really felt like as we've been talking for the last 3 weeks, for any of you who've been here, we've been talking a lot about rebuilding, and we've talked about rebuilding our ministry, and we talked about rebuilding ourselves, and that song exactly was about rebuilding that testimony. The fire in our the altar is our own heart, rebuilding that sheep gate like we talked about, which is that personal relationship, getting back to the fundamentals, getting back to putting Jesus first. And so I just sort of felt like as I've been talking to God about this, it just seemed like the perfect timing to begin to just talk about how can we renew our minds, how can we renew our hearts, how can we relay a right foundation of what friendship is, what friendship isn't. Does that make sense? So that when you all come into this place, and by God's grace, you know, we've been praying for just a harvest of young people, and I really do believe we are right on the tip of seeing just masses of young people come to Christ. It's my desire, it's Pastor Patrick and his wife Rose's desire, and all the leadership here, that when they come, they would be able to experience the truth of who Christ is. And that would be modeled through how we get along with each other, right? Jesus said that the world would know us by our love for each other. And so that is my hope as we go through this friendship series. It'll be over the next, we'll hit like four topics that will take us into the first week of March. And then we'll pause and then we'll resume with then talking about romantic relationships, issues that happen in romantic relationships. And so it's important that you're going to be here. Like Ilya said, it's going to be, we're trying to marry what happens here at the gate with connect groups. And so we'll hit the topic here, and then you'll have a week to meditate on what's been spoken here. You'll have a week to read the corresponding scripture, and then you'll go to your connect groups, and then you'll be able to unpack it in an intimate setting. Does that make sense? And hear where you are from one another, learn and grow from each other. And so tonight we're going to start with... We are going to start, and I want to also say this just before I jump into the message, that this by no means is a comprehensive study on what it means to be a friend or what a romantic relationship is. I'm only just sharing with you the topics that as I've prayed that have been reoccurring themes amongst many young adults here. So that's what we will be hitting on over the next couple of weeks. Last week, for those of you who are here at Y Night, a question came up about why is dating an unbeliever wrong? And why our focus, isn't on dating, I want to give you a scripture that answers that question, and it also warns us on the dangers in general of interacting with godly people. 1 Corinthians 13:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. The topic for tonight is unrighteous friendships. Unrighteous friendships. Oftentimes we can fool ourselves and we can minimize the impact that ungodly behavior has on us. That's why the word tells us for us not to be deceived. Because like I said, oftentimes we really do minimize the seriousness of who we associate with. And I know that it's really God's desire to open up our hearts to the truth and that he wants his word to be young adults, the highest standard. The Lord's word is supposed to be sovereign, it is sovereign, but we have a choice to make it sovereign in our lives. It's our rule book. It's our manual for all of living. And so it is definitely just my heart, even as we go through tonight, that God would help us to do some heartfelt soul searching on those we call our friends, those that we associate ourselves with, people that are actually not good for us. And sometimes we're deceived in thinking that we are. If I had to give my message a title tonight, my topic is unrighteous friendships, but if I had to give it a title, I'm going to call it frenemies. Frenemies, frenemies, people that we think are friends, but are actual enemies. And case in point being this Old Testament story in 2 Samuel chapter 13, projection, if you want to go there for me, we're going to look at just some of this again, because you're going to read this chapter in its entirety. I'm just going to share some verses with you. This story is on one of David's sons named Amnon and his so-called friend, Jonadab, that was really an enemy. So let's take a look at this story and see what we can learn from it. So 2 Samuel 13. Now, David's son, Absalom, had a beautiful sister named Tamar. And Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her. Let's keep going. Amnon became so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought he could never have her. But Amnon had a very crafty friend, his cousin, Jonadab. Now, I want to pause for a moment and tell you that this word crafty to describe Jonadab is the very same description used to describe the devil in Genesis 3, verse 1. That ultimately, as you know, tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God's commands and subsequently ushered sin into the world. This is the very same word that's used for this young man who Amnon thinks is his friend, and God's describing him similarly to the devil. So let's keep reading. He was the son of David's brother, Shemaiah. One day, Jonadab said to Amnon, "What's the trouble? Why would the son of the king look so dejected morning after morning?" So Amnon told him, "I am in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." "Well," Jonadab said, "I'll tell you what to do. Go back to bed and pretend you are ill. When your father comes to see you, ask him to let Tamar come and prepare some food for you. Tell him you'll feel better if she prepares it as you watch and feeds you with her own hands." So I just want to make this point to you that Amnon and Jonadab were kindred spirits, right? We hear that oftentimes. But you can also be kindred spirits in a terrible way. Not just, we oftentimes just associate it with like, oh, we're kindred spirits. And generally you should. It's like spirits in a good way, godly. You have things in common in a good way. But they were kindred spirits in a very terrible, evil way. And Jonadab's wicked demonic counsel only fed the lust and the gross darkness in Amnon. How many of you know that expression, birds of a feather, right? They do flock together, that's the truth. And like spirits do attract one another in both good and evil ways. Because the moment that Amnon mentions something so incredibly demonic, a romantic interest in his sister was absolutely off limits. It shouldn't have even been a conversation, and yet it was. And you see this frenemy, instead of giving him a strong rebuke, because how many of you know sometimes young adults, we need a strong rebuke, right? All of us can say things that are just like not right, twisted. And we're called to speak truth and love to one another, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's the spirit of all truth. We're called to speak truth one to another. And so he really should have shut it down as soon as that demonic statement came out of his mouth. But not only did he not shut it down, he gives him a diabolical plan to execute his lust for his own sister. And so I want to tell you, young adults, now more than ever, it matters who your friends are. It matters who you associate with. It matters very much the places that you go and the people that you're going with. And it matters who influences you. And I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking also about the influence of media, which is so huge in your generation. Voices, 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 contrary to the Spirit of God, that influence, that wrongly shape, that corrupt our minds, that corrupt our hearts, that promotes and feeds that carnal nature that all of us have to battle with. It matters very much so. And as a result of these things, how they influence us, like this wicked frenemy is influencing this young man, Jonadab, these things cause us now to act out. This ungodly counsel, it's flat out wicked counsel. Can we just tell the truth about it, real plain? And then we end up treating each other in unchristlike ways. Because we're receiving things that we shouldn't even entertain. Voices that we should not even entertain. We're receiving them and then they're influencing us and they're causing us to act in unchristlike ways. As we near the return of Jesus, he warned us that spiritual wickedness will only increase. It's not going to decrease, it's only going to increase. And the devil's modus operandi tonight, as Jesus laid out in John 10:10, has never changed, young people. It's never changed. His purpose for you, for me, is to steal from us, it's to kill us, and it's to destroy us. And sadly, most of the time, he's able to use the carnal nature, the unregenerate nature of people to execute his plan of destruction, right? We see that every single day in the world that we live in. We see it every day in the news. Amen? Am I telling the truth? Telling the truth. Let's keep reading. Let's just keep reading. So let's pick up with verse 6. We're not going to read, like I said, the whole thing. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. And when the king came to see him, Amnon asked him, "Please let my sister Tamar come and cook my favorite dish as I watch. Then I can eat from her own hands." So David agreed and sent Tamar to Amnon's house to prepare some food for him. When Tamar arrived at Amnon's house, she went to the place where she was lying down, where he was lying down, so he could watch her mix some dough. Then she baked his favorite dish for him. Let's just jump down, because now these are just the details of how she was cooking, etc., for him. So now it says in verse 11, he puts all of the people out. Let's pick it up from verse 11. But as she was feeding him, he grabbed her and demanded, "Come to bed with me, my darling sister." "No, my brother," she cried. "Don't be foolish. Don't do this to me. Such wicked things aren't done in Israel. Where could I go in my shame? And you would be called one of the greatest fools in Israel. Please just speak to the king about it, and he will let you marry me." But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. And since he was stronger than she was, he raped her. Then suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate. Because how many of you know that love had nothing to do with it, right, in the first place? Never. Love had nothing to do with it. It was a stronghold of lust in this young man. And just as a sidebar again, because I'm not here to really to focus on dating per se, but again, since the question came up last week about why it's not okay to date unsaved men, amazing that, like I said, this was just a stronghold of lust in this young man that sadly was not checked by a so-called friend and stopped dead in its tracks. And it now gives birth to this very wicked, diabolical act of him defiling and raping his own sister. You know, because at the end of the day, it was only about the selfishness in his own heart and him getting what he wanted to get. That's why it matters, ladies and gentlemen, for that matter, because it's not just men that do this to women. Women do it to men too. Women prey on men too. It matters very much in 2018. Who influences you? Who speaks into your life? The places that you go, the people that you associate with. It matters very, very much. As we keep reading, let's just wrap this up. Then suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he had loved her. Get out of here, he snarled at her. No, no, Tamar cried. Sending me away now is worse than what you've already done to me. But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. He shouted for his servant and demanded, throw this woman out. Now she's not even a sister. She's not even his brother's sister. Now she's just a woman. Throw this woman out and lock the door behind her. So the servant put her out and locked the door behind her. She was wearing a long, beautiful robe, as was the custom in those days for the king's virgin daughters. But now Tamar tore her robe and put ashes on her head. And then with her face in her hands, she went away crying. So now we have here, we see lust that goes to scheming, that goes to lying, that goes to rape, that goes to hate, that goes to shame, that goes to disgrace. Just to name some of the sins. Now, when you go down, as you all will read this story in its entirety, there's a greater fallout even than this. This is, how many of you know that this is really, really pretty bad? Really, really bad, right? Everything that you're reading up until this point. And it all started from one diabolical conversation that did not get stopped dead in its tracks. There's lust, there's scheming. Well, the lust was already there, but the lust was fed and encouraged by this one conversation. Scheming, lying, rape, hate, shame, and disgrace. That's just a few in 15 verses. Because the wages of sin, young adults, is definitely death. That's the paycheck that sin always pays you. Like you get a paycheck, right? For those of you who have a job and you get an actual salary. Sin always pays death. That's why the word says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. The wages of sin is always death. Galatians 5, that talks about the works of the flesh, what happens when our carnal nature is not submitted to the spirit of the living God, behaviors that it produces, all of these. And like I said, it only gets worse as you read the rest of the story. And also, I think it's in Galatians 5, I think it's maybe 6, it talks about, again, for us not to be deceived, that whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, not only do we reap what we sow, this is reaping more than was sown later than it was sown. Because that's what the devil never tells you. He never tells you the long-standing fallout. And, you know, I was just kind of thinking, going through my own, like, Rolodex this week, just thinking about my teen years, especially as, you know, when I got into so much trouble. And by no means, I was no Girl Scout, and I take responsibility for my own heart. But I certainly, as I look back, some key, like, pitfalls for me happened from girlfriends, my best friends in high school. One of my best friends in particular, she was addicted to weed. And I never had an interest up until that point, you know, in smoking or any of that. But just because this was a big thing for her, it was just like, well, after a while, it's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big. Well, it's not that big of a deal. And then I found myself trying it. Now, thank God, because I had so many other things that I was battling with. Drugs never became something that stuck to me. And then I think about the same girlfriend and the same group of girlfriends I would sit every day with at my lunch table. And there was a young man that came into my life, totally, totally no good for me at all. And how all of my girlfriends and something inside of me, guys, even though I didn't know Jesus, something inside me knew that I should not get involved with this guy. But all of my friends, Lisa, he's so cute. He's so fly. He's so this. It's like an honor that he wants to date you. And just like, wearing me down and wearing me down. And every day you're sitting at the table and you're listening to this ungodly counsel. And sure enough, I started dating him. And shortly thereafter, found myself pregnant. And shortly thereafter, as I shared last week, found myself with an unwanted pregnancy that resulted in a devastating abortion that took me more than 10-15 years to recover from. That's how serious it is. God loves us, young adults, and he sends his word to protect us. He sends his word to protect us because he's a loving father and he wants you guys to be safe. And we don't have time to waste. Young people are losing their lives over some of the most reckless, senseless things today. And oftentimes, when you start to trace this, I read a lot of these stories. It's a friend said this, let's go here, let's go there. Places that they should not have been with, people that they should not have been with. And it's literally sometimes leading to actual death. At the minimum, spiritual death, for sure. And so I don't really have much more to say beyond this other than how do we now ask God to begin to help us with these ungodly influences? If this is resonating with you in this place today, God wants to help you, just like he began to help me. I love my friends, and listen, there is a place, young people, for still not cutting ourselves off completely, right? Because we do want to see unsaved people that we know, especially get saved. We pray for them, want to invite them to church and all those things. But there has to be a point where we're looking to just go all the way with Jesus. And that means then there's got to be a separation. There's got to be a separation. There's got to be a cutting of ties. Well, let me not get ahead of myself. So let me just give you some practical things that I feel like God gave me for you all tonight. How we can begin to break free from these ungodly influences. It all starts with prayer. Perfect. The song was perfect. I was sitting there thinking like, thank you, God. It starts with personal prayer. We got to pray for a desire to want to honor Jesus and our friendships and our relationships. Jesus himself has set the standard for friendship. He loved us when we were enemies of the cross. The Bible says that he died for us. And it's my hope, young adults. I tell you, oftentimes I just pray and I pray and I pray. Like Pastor P said, devotion. I pray that you would begin to develop a heart that has such an allegiance for Jesus that because of his love for us and our love for him, we would just want to honor him in every single area of our life. Friendships and relationships are so important to you, and he knows that, especially at this age. But it's my hope, it's my desire, it's my prayer that we would not put people above our Lord. Who else died for us? Who else gave himself for us? Nobody but Jesus. Friends, you thank God for friends. I'm so grateful for all the friends I've had, even my unsafe friends. I've been loved by a lot of people in my life. But young adults, when the rubber meets the road, nobody has been there in the midnight hour. Nobody has seen me, walked me through all of the things I've been through. And it's the same for you. Nobody but Jesus. He's the friend that sits closer than any brother. And so it's my hope, my desire that we would just want to honor him. And we would not want to associate ourselves with people that just, again, we know that they don't know any better because they're not saved, but we should not be comfortable in the presence of people that can blaspheme the Lord's name, curse his name. We should not be able to watch, you know, media things that mock him, that tear him down. There's something not right about that, young adults. We need an allegiance to him because he made an allegiance to us. And if you don't have that in your heart, he's able and willing to give you a new heart. That's his new covenant promise, as stated in Ezekiel 36, to take out the stoniness where we're hardened, where we're stony, where we don't fully love him. We don't fully love his word. We don't fully want to embrace his commandments. He can take out that stoniness and he can give us a tender and a responsive heart towards him. Amen. Pray for that tonight. Pray for that tonight. Number two, read through the book of Proverbs regularly. It's filled with all kinds of wisdom. It was specifically written for young people and has all kinds of instructions, all kinds of contrasts between the godly and the ungodly, the wise and the foolish. There are 31 of them, so you can read one every single day. Wisdom to live by. the book of Proverbs. It has lots to say about friendship, especially Proverbs 27. In 2 weeks, we're going to actually now talk about what godly friendship is. And we'll get into more of that in 2 weeks. But nevertheless, begin to read through the book of Proverbs and let it begin to guide you and shape you about the people that you should and should not be associating with. Number 3, break ties with ungodly influences by adjusting communication and interaction. It means that you got to step away from some people, young adults, sometimes for a season, sometimes permanently. It means that you've got to unfriend some people on Facebook and other forms of social media. It means that you've got to maybe come off of social media altogether until you get strengthened, right? Because sometimes there's so much temptation. And the Bible says with every way that we're tempted, Jesus has always made a way of escape. He said sometimes, you know, this sounded really drastic, but when we are finding ourselves like in such a fierce battle and something is really just trying to destroy us, he said, you know, we should wage war against that thing that's trying to wage war against us. He said, sometimes it means that you cut, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, did he literally mean, of course, cutting off our right hand? Of course not. But it means that we get serious about that which is trying to destroy us. And we're willing to do and take whatever measure we need to do. Getting off things, deleting things, putting computers away, ripping up magazines, throwing out books. Like I said, just this week, I had a friend who's been a frenemy. And every time this person doesn't get a response from me that they want, begins to send me like the nastiest messages tearing me down. I've been dealing with this for years. And the Lord said to me on Monday, enough, Lisa, is enough. I've spoken, I've asked, I've tried everything in a godly way to say, please stop doing this. It's manipulation, it's control. And this Monday was the last day. No more. Had to delete. And then my other friend said, you know what? You can't even take it a step further and block. So now you can't even get, now I'm not getting nothing. I ain't getting jack. Amen. You got to take these measures, right? Amen. You got to do what you got to do. And the Holy Spirit will give us the grace in these things. And so it's going to be different for each person, but just let him guide you in these things. And don't, the Bible says, if you hear God speaking, don't harden your heart. So whatever he starts to speak to you, as you go through the Rolodex, as you leave this place, so begin to go through the Rolodex. God, show me. Give me a real account as you see it. The people I'm associating with, the people I'm calling my friends, show me. And now give me heaven's clarity. Give me your instructions. Do I need to make adjustments? And guys, you know what? Sometimes can we just keep this 100%? Sometimes it's not them, it's us, right? Because Jonadab, Amnon had darkness in him. That's why he attracted this ungodly friend. And that's all of us. All of us have a sin nature to contend with. But there is a love defeating the darkness in us, right? David said in Psalm 139, God, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. He's willing to show us the places in our hearts that are not right, but to take us into what is right by the power of his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen? And then, guys, lastly, join in on clean, fun activities. That means get involved serving in ministry. Real practical. How many of you are not involved in ministry here? How many of you? Let me see by show of hands. Oh, there's so many people. We have so much help. We need so much help. Get involved serving in ministry. It will cause you to start living at a higher standard because you'll be accountable to a leader and others. And if you find out there's a group of young adults that are holding like Bible studies, ask to join in. If you find that there's young adults, I know there's, we do like fun things. You know, it's fun. It's possible to have fun in Jesus. Clean fun, right? Hiking, bowling, all the, right? Eating and all these things, fun things. Eating. Somebody say eating. I know you, Diamond. Eating. Yes. It's possible to have fun in him. And so when you are just like kind of going about and you hear young people say, hey, I'm going over here. I know there's a group of young adults that meet and read the Bible on Mondays. Join in on these things. I know some of you are a little shy too. So God will help us in these things. And that's also why, guys, we've got to be intentional about being friendly to each other, right? Going out of our way, going out of our little comfort zone and being intentional about welcoming people in, right? And so join in on clean, fun activities. Get involved in ministry. It'll cause you to live at a higher standard. And guys, just Begin to pray for, if you don't have somebody, and again, we're going to talk about this a little further in 2 weeks. David had a friend in the Bible, his name was Nathan, who dared to speak hard truth to him. Keep yourself accountable to somebody who is willing to ask you the tough questions. Somebody that you can be very totally transparent with. You feel totally safe. You can be totally transparent. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We talked about that last week. There's no shame, guys. All of us. He knows how weak, I think David said, he knows the weakness of our flesh, the frailties. He's touched by these things, but he's here to help us by his word, by his spirit, and then by us, each other. So I pray that you would begin to ask God to just give you some godly friends that would dare to keep you accountable. Amen. I'm done. Was this helpful? Is this helpful? Now I want you to stand with me. And I want to leave you with this question, right? So people often use this verse to justify, like I said, hanging with unsaved, ungodly influences. Well, Jesus was a friend of sinners. And it's true, he was a friend of sinners. But the difference is, he influenced them. They never influenced him. Never. He always influenced. And it was always for godliness. And so I want to ask this question to you. And this is a question that Pastor Patrick posed many years ago that I never, ever forgot. We can either be thermostats or thermometers. And Jesus is a thermostat. He sets the pace. He's the standard in all things. He sets the pace like a thermostat. Sets the pace, sets the temperature of a room. Are you a thermostat? Because all of us have dealings with unsafe people all the time. Coworkers, but specifically now we're talking about friendships, those that we call friends, those that we're calling associates and interacting with. When you're with them, are you setting the pace? Are you setting the pace in the conversation and the activities? Are you setting the pace? Or are you a thermometer that when you drop it in something hot or cold, it just changes, right? Just changes. So then you get with a group of people and then it's like, well, I'm still a Christian, but you succumb to the temptation. You succumb to the ungodly conversation. You laugh when you know that you shouldn't. Are you a thermostat or are you a thermometer?
Hallelujah. Father, we do lift our voices tonight to you. What a privilege, God, we have in you, Lord, to be able to pray for one another, to be able to stand in the gap for one another. God, to be able to make a difference in each other's lives, Lord. Lord, we pray for that one on our right, oh God, that you would indeed strengthen them with might in the inner man. You lift your voice to God. He wants to hear your voice tonight. He wants to hear your voice. We pray that blessing, Lord, for that one on our right, God, that you will touch them, that you will strengthen them, that you will quicken them through your Holy Spirit, that you will infuse them with life and grace, Lord, to be a blessing, Lord, wherever they go, God. Lord, that you will cause them, Lord, to, as they spend time in your word, to get a word from you, Lord, that their devotion time would not be dry, but that it would come alive, Lord, and that you would give them a word, a scripture that would encourage their hearts, Lord. Lord, that there would be a fire, passion in their souls, Lord, when they leave your presence every day, Lord, that they'll be ready to make a difference wherever they go, God, that they would be a thermostat, Lord. Lord, wherever they go, wherever you would send them, God, we thank you for each one, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for the blessing that you've made them, Lord, and what you've done in their lives. And God, we continue to pray that you will do what only you could do in and through them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray for that one on our left, oh God. We pray for that one on our left, God, that you will touch them in a special way, God. Thank you for the word tonight that came forth. Thank you that, Lord, you enable us, Lord, Lord, to turn from things that are ungodly to things that are godly, things that exalt you, things that honor you, things that, Lord, cause us to be all that you destined us to be, oh God. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us, oh God. Thank you for your grace that sustains us. Holy Spirit, I pray you bless them. I pray you encourage them. I pray you fill them, Lord, with the vision from heaven, Lord, the ability to see things from your perspective, Lord, the ability to hear your voice, to be led by you, oh God. Lord, I pray that you give them a word for those in their path, oh God, a word in season, Lord Jesus, a word, oh God, a discerning word, a well-placed word, oh God, Lord, that will minister life to those they come in contact with, oh God. God, we thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for them, oh God. I thank you for them, God. I thank you that you've called them, you've appointed them. Lord, you've anointed them to go forth and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us tonight, Lord. Lord, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too difficult for you. Glorify your name, God. Glorify your name, God. Glorify your name. Glorify your name, God. Glorify your name. Hallelujah. 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 Glorify your name, God, tonight and in the days ahead. Now let's pray. Let's pray for the young people in this generation. Hallelujah. Let's pray for all the young people in this generation. Let's pray for the Christians in this generation that they'll stand for Jesus. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God, we pray for every youth group, God, every young person that is called by your name. Oh God, in Jesus' name, we ask, oh God, that you will anoint them. You'll empower them. You will give them a fresh touch from heaven. Lord, a fresh burden for the lost, a fresh burden, Lord, your burden, your heart, Lord. Lord, help us to see men not like trees walking, but to see everything clear, to see men like you see them, oh God, with your compassion, Lord, with your heart, with your burden. Deliver us from callousness. Deliver us from being so bound up in our own drama and our own issues that the enemy keeps us sidelined from being used by you to make a difference, Lord, in this generation. God, we thank you, oh God. We pray for fire, fire, oh God, fire to be shut up in our bones, that we would not be able to stay quiet, oh God, but that we would have, Lord Jesus, something to say, God. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, when we have our devotions, let the word jump off the pages, oh God. Lord, let your word jump off the pages. Give us something, Lord, to feed those around us, oh God. Give us bread, oh God. Give us bread. Lord, bread at midnight. Lord, bread for those around us, oh God. Lord, an encouraging word, oh God, that we will point men and women to you, oh God. Lord, send your fire, oh God, upon the altar of the hearts of young people in this city, Lord. Christian young people and youth groups around this city, oh God. We ask that you would visit them, Lord, with your spirit. Visit them, surprise them, oh God, by supernaturally speaking to them, Lord, in the depths of their hearts, Lord. Lord, with a word of hope and encouragement, Lord, for your glory. God, we thank you, Lord, that the devil is defeated. We thank you that the victory is ours. We thank you that you have a church, an army that you are raising up. There's an army rising, oh God, to break every chain, oh God. Lord, in this hour, to break every chain, oh God. God, we thank you tonight, and we bless you for what you're going to do, God. We thank you for this word, Lord, that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, God. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.